Blog Talk Radio.
Lady Flavor, this is DeLon from All Media Artists, and you're in for a big treat. Today's show is dedicated to the diversity of talent on allmediaartists.com. You'll hear some great music from some great artists. So sit back and enjoy. And now here is your host, Lady Flavor.
And welcome to the All Media Artist Features tonight. I want to thank everybody from All Media and to across the United States and around the globe for just being patient with me. I've had to take a couple weeks off from doing the show, and I definitely will, you know, get with Therese to reschedule the artists that I had to cancel the show on. But I'm glad to be back. You don't know how much I missed hearing that intro and, you know, just doing the shows. But, you know, unfortunately, my family and I experienced losing three people in less than 1 week. And then during that process, we were also trying to move. So, anyway, I just thank everybody for your love and your prayers. And I thought, you know, what better day to get back at the All Media Artist Features than with a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, Lamont Carey. We have been friends for many, many years, and I think this is a great way for me to come back. I've asked Lamont to call in, just maybe 5-10 minutes after the show starts, so I can just kind of at it and, you know, just excited to be back again. So I want to say hello to Therese. Thank you so much, friend, for you know, being patient with me through this process, and is that Miss Antoinette that's also in the chat room? Hey, girl. Thank you so much for coming out. So while we're waiting for Lamont to call in, why don't I just play a track? I will be playing tracks from the All Media Artists come the second hour. Lamont wanted to do this the first hour, which is no problem. And so I think I'm going to start this out tonight with Brian Christopher and All of Me.
All of me,
tell me what you feel. I can't help but be entranced. I'm so glad you chose to be mine. Now I wanna make those plans again. Talking about how I can see forever, spending my days with you.
But you changed.
My broken heart, yeah, yeah.
Ready, I'm ready to give you all of me. Ready, I'm ready to give you all of me. I'm ready to give you all of me.
Ready. Hey, now you've got my heart. You're all.
All right, that was Brian Christopher with All of Me. Again, you've tuned in to the All Media Artist Features, and tonight my special guest is going to be Mr. Lamont Carey, coming to us live from Washington, D.C., and I'm really, really excited, you know, to have him on this show. It's interesting that Lamont and I have been friends for many, many years, and honestly, I have never had him on any of my shows. Shame on me, huh? So, with that said, I am going to bring Mr. Carey on. Let me click on his line. Lamont, you are live on the All Media Artist Features. How are you, my friend?
I don't want to come on.
You do want to come on. Yes, you do.
You ain't having me on all your shows. You ain't having me on all your shows. I'm boycotting.
That's kind of sad, huh? I was thinking about that, Lamont. I've never had you on any of my shows. But then, you know, I probably assumed you were just too busy for me.
Whatever.
You still love me. You still love me. I know Okay, so now behave. So how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm good. I'm glad to finally be able to come up in one of your houses.
Okay. Well, if I would have asked you to come on to the show, would you have said yes?
Oh, anytime.
Really?
Yeah, I would always come on to your show.
Okay. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Without you,
my
I
bad.
Have no flavor.
Just thank me. It's okay.
Without you, I have no flavor.
Yeah. You know what, Lamont? For a long time, I thought I was, like, special, right, and that you called only me shawty. Then I found out the truth. You got many shawties all over the world.
Well, it's how I say shawty. You shawty. So the way I say shawty to you, you special, shawty. See how I say
yeah.
it with the love you feel
yeah,
in
you know. Yeah, you know, that you're one of those people I call silver tongue devils, you know. It's just like, I did. I thought I was just somebody real, real special. Yeah,
you know,
don't
special.
Even try to say it in how you enunciate the shawty. I think in 2011, you need to come up with a different name for me.
All right, leprechaun.
Yeah, well, oh, that's weak. Weak. That's
baby
weak.
Mama
that's
drama.
Weak.
Baby mama yeah. drama.
Yeah. So, Lamont, so what's been keeping you busy lately? You've got so many hats that you wear. So, you know, what have you been up to?
Lately, you mean like... yesterday, early today, in the last couple of months.
Okay, how about if we go back at least the last couple of months?
Okay. Going back the last couple of months,
it's kind of hard to think that far, huh?
Yeah, because I'm going to miss something. But the biggest thing that I've done within the last couple of months, well, everything is big because everything is important. But the most recognizable thing as far as the international audience will recognize it would be me directing my second play at the John F. Kennedy Center.
Okay. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the play, well, the show was fabulous. Standing ovation, got sponsors interested, and my cast did a phenomenal job. And the play is actually was adapted from the series that I'm shooting, Laws of the Street. So
right.
It was good. And I'm always trying to prove, like, how talented people are and how an audience will allow you to bring them into your fantasy. So with the play, I didn't use any props. So we didn't have, like, a stage set up. It was just the light and the audience and my actors. And so that was a beautiful, beautiful experience.
I would imagine it was because, I mean, just even, you know, whether I hear you spit a piece just for me personally or whether I go onto YouTube, you know, or have an opportunity to hear you on another show, I think that it would be very easy in a sense to kind of create a visual. So I bet that was amazing for the audience to experience that, and I hope one day, sometime in the near future, I'll be able to experience, you know, that in person. But now you have a DVD of this, correct? That's for sale on your website?
I have a DVD of the first play.
The first one, okay.
This one, I'm actually cleaning it up to release on DVD because people, at first I wasn't going to do it because I'm trying to do eight more cities, but the demand for the DVD is overwhelming, and you know I like money. So,
yeah, of course.
So I think I'm gonna go ahead and release the one we did at the Kennedy Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people a little bit of the background of your project, Laws of the Street?
Well, okay, Laws of the Street. That is my lifeline. That is probably the piece that I am probably more attached to than any of the other projects that I'm doing. And so I'm gonna just tell the audience my elevator pitch, and hopefully that'll tell it. It is. My television show, Lords of the Street, is like The Wire meets All My Children. It's a character-driven drama that focuses on how the characters' upbringing and their peer groups affect their personal views of themselves and how they dream, prosper, kill, and at times die. For my show, there really aren't any stars. The show focuses on the groups, so you will learn to love them, hate them, but more importantly, understand them as we depict realistic situations of communities all around the world. So in a more clear term, Laws of the Street is a community. It's a fictional community in Washington, D.C., but we deal with issues that you can find in anybody's home, from verbal abuse, sexual abuse. Like, for instance, the play Learning to Be a Mommy was surrounding one of the characters named Angel, and her parents are addicted to her. And there's even a trailer out with just the parents in it. And her father goes to prison, and the mother is left on the street with a drug habit. And so she runs out of money, and she tries to sell her body to a dealer, but he wasn't interested in her. He was interested in her virgin 13-year-old daughter. And so the mother convinces the daughter to sleep with the guy. And after that experience, the daughter decided to sell drugs to support her mother habit. And so that's the best that I can give you of the show. It's a whole lot of twists and turns in the show. So I'm not going to give them too much. But that is like the basis of the show.
So tell me this, Lamont. Is there like something in the story that gives the audience some hope? You know, I understand that these things can touch many lives, no matter what community you come from. You know, and you just never know somebody's real story.
Right.
But I'm just curious as to whether you are also putting a twist of, you know, a sense of hope for these particular characters, despite what their circumstances are.
Well, in any story, right, there has to be balance. If it's too much on one thing, the audience, you may lose your audience. So there has to be balance. And one of the things that I love about being able to create the projects that I want to create is that I can attach the emotions in there. I can put in hope. I can put in happy endings, or I can put in an ending that the audience walk away hating me for. So my goal is always to enlighten, to educate, and to entertain. And so to mix them all together, there has to be a balance. There has to be somebody that the audience is rooting for. There has to be somebody that the audience wants destroyed. And then the audience have to see themselves in some form of the story in order to really, really connect to it. So is there hope? There's always hope. And I always put it in there. Is there pain? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, baby.
Is there pain? Yes. Is there shock? Yes. Do the audience cheer? Yes. And what's crazy is this cast, the cast that's in this show, 98% of them is actually in the TV series. But things don't always go the way that I plan. So I lost maybe like four of the people that were leading characters in like the last 2 weeks before the show. I wasn't even supposed to be in the show, but I ended up being in the show. So my cast, I mean, some of them just were added on late in the game, but they did a great job.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that one of the things that you do is that you touch on people's emotions. And you cause people to think, you know, and challenge within themselves what it is that they're thinking about, whether it be your spoken word or, you know, even your talk shows. I mean, or even what you post online. The thing that I love about you, I don't know if people realize it, you post things to get people to react. And I know that you thoroughly enjoy reading the responses that you get and then going back to provoke them a little bit further. You know, so where do you think that comes from within you? It's not necessarily your point, you're putting out there your personal opinion, but you'll put something out there that will make people think outside the box.
Well, one of the things that I believe is for the world or people to get along better, we have to better understand each other. And so whatever project that I'm doing, even if, like you said, a status, I want to ask questions that make the individual look within themselves to see how the answer that they would generally give, is it the answer that they believe? Because one of the things that I notice about being online versus being in person, that when you're online, people can be more open versus just shooting you some garbage when they're in front of you.
Right.
So I try to get people to dig deep. So I try to get people to dig deep and share their thoughts. And that's how we learn what we have in common. And so that makes me believe that I can relate to you because we share certain things. And one of the things, well, some of the things that I've learned that we all have in common is that we know loneliness. We know pain. We know having a goal that we haven't obtained, regardless of how big or how small it is. So the thing that we have in common, I think it centers around hope. And the other thing that we have in common is we all want a happy ever after. So that is like the biggest fairy tale. That is like one of the biggest motivations behind like advertisement. Because all advertisement that is pushed at us is telling us if we get this, it'll make our life better. So we all strive and chase this unknown thing that we will believe that will make our life fulfilling and completely happy. But the trick is that every goal that we accomplish, life doesn't end here. So we are forever chasing this pure happiness.
Right. You mean it doesn't exist, Lamar?
Of course it exists. It may not exist where if I walk through this door that my world will forever be at this level. Me as an individual, as a human, I can't do anything. I can't do the same thing for the rest of my life. So I'm going to get tired of repetition.
Right.
So then there has to be something else. So don't get me wrong, we experience happiness. We experience fulfillment. But how long? There's always something else for us to chase because we don't know everything. We have not experienced everything. So there's always a mystery out there. Does that make better sense?
No, I understand. And I think that we all strive. I think that we are attracted to the mystery.
Right. We
and
love
I think
the mystery.
That's something that we all, in a sense, want to, be able to be kept on our toes and to be intrigued,
right.
Because we don't, at least most people, I think, always want to be surprised in a sense. They get
right.
bored with that that common and what becomes the normal routine in their world. And so I think that's why a lot of people, end up having affairs and stuff like that is because they want something that's a little bit more exciting than what they presently have, even though they know what they presently have, is good and, well, I'll say on a whole, maybe good
right.
and wonderful or whatever, but there's, people are always looking for something better, and so...
In regards to the relationship, those that do step out of the relationship and cheat don't look at what they can do different inside of the relationship. So the woman or the man that they see or meet that seems to be a new mystery, they can find that in their spouse. All we got to do is try something different.
Yeah, I agree. Kimora wants you to know she's here, paying attention. She's, 3 years old now, Lamont, and, she wants to learn and grow into being a better adult, so.
Wow.
She's,
Can I say
Uncle Lamont, see, he's calling you shawty too, Kimora. You're just as special as me, but you know he didn't enunciate. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Shawty.
She didn't get the love, the package
love
that I give to you.
Right. So you know, for everybody in the listening audience, since Lamont and I can't really see your faces, I just want you to know that, you know, Lamont and I have this long-standing love affair. It's been going on for many, many years. You know, one day I am going to get him out to the Pacific Northwest, and, you know, then we can show him what happiness is all about. Okay, I'm talking stuff, but, you know,
yeah,
Lamont
when
is
I get out there,
a,
rainbows will bust out of the roof of your house. Gold coins will fall down. Woman, I'm going to make your world explode.
So Lamont knows that I love leopard print. And one day, oh gosh, what, 4 years ago maybe, Lamont, you called me up and I got you to spit a freestyle about leopard print, didn't I? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I don't remember the piece, but I remember you putting me under pressure like that. I remember that.
So Lamont, can I put you under pressure right now?
What you want?
Can you either spit a piece that you are already known for or freestyle?
Which one do you want?
Okay, why don't we start with a freestyle?
About what?
Can we do leopard print again?
Okay. I can smell the wildness inside of you. And it turns me on from the way that you move, feline. And lady, you run all through my mind all the time. Got me keeping my hands in my pocket to hold myself steady. You ready? Leopard spots. Give me all that you got. Release yourself unto me. Make me fear you. Bite me. Lick me. Suck me. Hold me. Put the fear of God into me. Lady, said you turn me on. You turn me out. Just from the slowness of you moving your mouth and your eyes, screams wild. And your smile makes mine grow. And I just want you to know you can come for me in the dark. In the blackness of night, take my life, feed me you, and I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do, because you turn me on. And I want to do Let This Have Nine Lives, because I want you to die in my arms. Cover me with your heat. Devour me. See me, lady.
Yeah, I got a big smile on my face. Okay, just say shoddy one more time, okay?
Yeah, shoddy. You know, I got nothing but love for you, shoddy.
I love the fact that you can freestyle. You know, I've heard you do it so many times, not just for me, but I've heard you do it so many times on different subjects. It's something that I know that it's just something that comes natural for you. So where do you think that comes from, the creativity around words?
Stories. People love stories. And it is my belief, as long as you give me a subject matter or something to build a story around, it makes it easier for me. Because I'm not I don't use a lot of metaphors and all of those things like some other poets or like some rappers do. I just tell a story that has a beginning, a middle, in the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that what helps make it easy for me. And plus, I had like 300 G.I. Joe men when I was little. So all of them have their own personalities. So I think all of that helps with me being able to go in and out of different characters.
That's interesting. I didn't know that you had G.I. Joes. I'm learning something new about you tonight.
G.I. Joe!
Oh, my gosh. So I do want to touch on a subject that, well, you have been pretty serious with me tonight, but I do want to touch on a different subject. But before I get to your program around working with the prisons, I want to ask you, what do you think your biggest accomplishment has been thus far as an entertainer and as an artist? Because you've been at this for a while, Lamont.
Right.
What do you think is your biggest accomplishment so far?
Well, my biggest accomplishment so far has to be going inside the prisons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, those are my biggest accomplishments.
So then, is it okay if we speak on that for a minute? Because I don't know if people are really aware of your nonprofit and your dedication to working with prisoners and transitioning out into society.
Okay.
Okay. So. Can we speak on how you got started with this, Lamont?
On how I got started with what?
Working and having a desire to get involved with the prison system and, you know, working with prisoners.
I went to prison as a juvenile and spent a total of 11 years in prison. And so part of my commitment, even in my art, is to change or give more insight on the plight of individuals that are on their way to prison or that are in prison or have been to prison. Because it's personal to me. Again, I went in as a kid, came out as an adult, and more than anything, prison opened my eyes. Because before I went to prison, I was, as a judge, as a judge said, a menace to society. And once in prison, I learned that lifestyle that I lived and I chased was a fantasy because it didn't follow me into prison. The people didn't follow me into prison. The people didn't stay in contact with me. And so it broke my heart, of course. And so I wanted to put that stuff aside because it didn't exist, so I needed something that exists. So I became Lamont Curry, somebody that I never knew really. And so I understand that other guys and women and youth that are incarcerated are going to look in the mirror in their cell one day and realize that they don't really know the individual that they're looking at internally. So it's always my goal to give them an opportunity to live as this new being. And so my dedication is definitely to prisoners and ex-offenders and at-risk youth. That's where my heart lies.
And you have a documentary that you've worked on in regards to this, correct?
Yes, it's called Outside the Gate.
And people can find this on YouTube, or is it on your website?
It's on both. It's actually on both.
I would really encourage people to check out that particular video. It is very, very well done. And you know, I think that was what Lamont has gone through, you know, as being an ex-offender to those that he is working with, and how he's trying to encourage not only, you know, ex-offenders and those, you know, potentially, you know, entering into the penal system, you know, to you know, explore life in a different light and, you know, outside of what has caused them to get into the situation, you know, either where they became locked up or potentially could become locked up, that I think that we in society need to look at things differently too. I think that, you know, when you lock up somebody, is that really, really rehabilitation? It's really going to take a strong soul to come out and be a reformed, different person. But society right. also needs to help, you know, those people because, you know, once you get locked up, you know, you already have a label, you know, over your head that doesn't necessarily leave you. And so to be able to allow you, you know, to become a productive citizen, you know, in your communities and in society, we as, you know, the people that they may encounter need to, you know, be open and look at them in a different light to give them that chance.
Right, because one of the things for sure is if the community doesn't embrace them and just pushes them away, then they harm the community. Most prisoners that I've been around have a true and strong desire to come home and live a productive life. But some of them just haven't been realistic about the obstacles that lie await them. You know what I'm saying? And so
right. They
run into a lot of those obstacles, and they submit instead of trying to find a way around it. And that's why I created not only contact visits, but I have my PayPal website called Serving in Time that people like your listeners can go on to Serving in Time and find a prisoner to write and just not only encourage them, but, you know, share information on how you deal with certain situations. I've been lucky. Well, no, I'm not lucky. I've been determined that my life is more promising than those ex-offender labels, those convicted felon labels and all of that. And so because I had within myself decided that I was going to do better and be greater than I ever was, that has been my motivation. And every time I accomplish something, I make and the audience or the general public find out that I was incarcerated, it makes
right. Them
look at other people that have been incarcerated or incarcerated. I hope that they say maybe this guy can add positivity or productivity to the community like Lamont is.
Sure, sure. You definitely are setting a good example and a role model not only for, you know, ex-offenders, but just for us, you know, in general, and
right. Being
able to be, you know, more open and receiving to that, because I think it is something that's very necessary. So, Lamont, when did you really tap into your creativity, and where does that come into play in what you're doing with the prison system?
I tapped into my creativity in prison.
Okay.
Before I went to prison, I didn't know nothing about me being no artist. The closest thing I came to being, I mean, interacting with music or anything in the arts is buying CDs. So I found that I could be creative just like in any neighborhood or rec center, what have you. In prison, they have guys that are really, really talented. So they be in this particular case, they were like rapping, competing against each other's rap battling in the prison. And I used to sit there and I used to be like, man, they some garbage. So one day I decided to write something. I couldn't rap a lick, but I thought I could do better than them. And so one of the guys was like, man, you tell stories. You seem like a good storyteller. You can't rap, but you got a nice story. I bet you can't write a book. And so I took that challenge and wrote my first book in like 2 weeks. And I let the guy read it. He liked it. He told somebody else. They asked to read it and so on and so on. And so by the time I got released, I had written like 8 books, like 5 screenplays, 3 children books. And so that's how I got into the arts. But before I came home, I didn't really there were more obstacles in being an author than there was trying something else. For instance, once I started writing the books, I started reaching out to publishing companies to publish my book. And they were like, we don't accept unsolicited material. You must submit it through an agent. And so I would contact agents, and agents say, we only represent people that have already been published. So, and that's kind of how I got into screenwriting. But before I came home, I had decided I was going to do a pen pal website for prisoners, because the one thing that I knew that all, me and all the other prisoners had in common was loneliness. And you needed a reality check on what's going on in the real world. So I decided I would create Serving in Time to help them get rid of the loneliness by connecting them with caring people in the streets. And so when I came home, I started the Pen Pal website, and somebody told me, my business counselor told me that maybe I should, because I have the whole experience, why don't I start a nonprofit? So I started the nonprofit Contact Visits, and I was going through the struggle with trying to find funding and things of that nature. And so I met a guy at like a nonprofit grant writing event or something, and he invited me to have a meeting with him. And I go meet with him, and he has a theater group. So he asked me to try some because his actors were there. So I tried it. They said I did a great job, blah, blah, blah. And so that was my reintroduction into the arts. And so I eventually became vice president of the OZD Project. That was the name of the theater group. And so I left that. But right before I left that, I was invited to an open mic night. And I was invited by the host. And so guys and females were up there doing their poetry and spoken word. And I was like, me running my mouth again, that's some garbage. And I'm telling the host. And so when he get back to the stage after this poet finished, he said the next poet up to the mic is Lamar Kerry. So, right. So I went up there, and I freestyled. I had freestyled a piece that's called, either it was Imagine or My Alter Ego. And that was my introduction, my second introduction into another form of the arts.
Okay. So then at what point did you get the opportunity to go on Deaf Poetry?
They called me.
I'm sorry?
I got a phone. I don't know how they got my number. I'm not sure how they found out about me, but they contacted me and asked me, would I like to come on to the show? And I asked them, does it pay? And so it did. They flew me out and I performed. And that's how I got onto Deaf Poetry.
Okay. So did that particular opportunity open any doors for you?
Yeah, but not a lot.
Okay.
I mean, it's great for the resume. So, I can't say not a lot, because people that are involved with deaf poetry, I mean, involved with spoken word, they know deaf poetry. And
mm-hmm.
people that don't know deaf poetry, when they see that I've been on a show that Russell Simmons did, that, so yeah, it has helped. But I have, it's rare that I get a phone call and someone be like, well, yeah, I saw you on Deaf Poetry Jam. I get more phone calls saying, man, I just watched your videos on YouTube. So YouTube has done amazing things for me.
I would imagine. I mean, you know, just even like, you know, periodically I go over there and, you know, and watch your videos and things. And the one thing that I appreciate about the Arts Lamont, which I think that you could understand and appreciate, is it's never old, you know, because
right.
it's something new to someone, somewhere, even if maybe
right.
it's years old, it's new to someone. And so that's what I appreciate about the arts. And just like with the pieces that you have, whether it be I Can't Read or I Love My Son or She Says She Loves Me, Imagine, or I Hate This Place, those pieces can, you know, can reach somebody, you know,
right.
at that moment, you know, where they can, you know, embrace it and take it in and have an appreciation for that piece and grow to have an appreciation for you who delivers the piece. So then
right.
now with that said, is there any chance that we can get you to spit one of those pieces live?
Sure. But I wanted to add this before I do that
okay.
I have been a school assignment for I don't know how many times. Some young kid reaches out to me because they've seen I Can't Read. Most recently, a wonderful woman from Tennessee said she heard the piece in a teacher's some kind of meeting. And then after the meeting, she said there was like a deafening silence for like a 30 seconds or so. And she was like, wow, if this can touch the teachers, the students have to love it. And so she showed it to all of her classes, she said. And so now they're working on getting me out there. But it just, I mean, to find that there are videos of people performing my work, that's just crazy to me. I just don't understand it. And most recently... an artist has violated my copyright, and he took a big piece of my stuff and put it on the CD.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's doing something with Dr. Dre. So that posed a different issue, but it's amazing to me that people are touched by my work. So what piece would you like for me to do?
Well, you know what? I honestly would love for you to do I Can't Read. But before you do that, I remember about a year ago or so, we were talking on the phone, and it turned out that this young white guy had did that piece. And I went and checked it out. You know what? I think he actually did a pretty good job on that piece.
Right. He did.
So,
it's another video that's on. It's another video that's on my website of a guy. I think he became Lila Victorian or something from doing the piece. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, and I remember you saying to me that that's a big compliment.
Right.
It wasn't like something that you were upset at, you know, that they were doing your piece, that it was a compliment for them to try to you know, perform it.
It's definitely a compliment until you make some money off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if you don't mind, Lamont, for those of, for the listeners of Flava News Radio and for the all media artists that may have not ever heard I Can't Read, I would love for you to do that piece.
Okay. I'm 11 years old in the sixth grade and I can't read. The class is so full that the teacher doesn't notice me, but I can't read. And when she finally asks me to come to the head of the class, I do everything in my power to make the class laugh. What would you do if you knew that they all would laugh at you? But I can't read, I can't write, I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. But they keep on passing me because I can dribble a ball, I can hit a three-pointer, y'all, and I can almost dunk, and I'm guaranteed to get you 13 points, but I can't read. I can't write. I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. But there are others in my class that I think are just like me. But they can't dribble a ball, and they can't dunk, so they can't guarantee no points. So they're going to have to work at McDonald's. But how they gonna get a job if they can't read the application? So the streets become their occupation. Now they peddling drugs to our nation, but I can't read. I can't write. I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. And the teacher's aide said that it's the teacher's fault, and the teacher says that it's the Board of Education, and the Board of Education says that it's my parents' fault, and y'all, my parents blame me, but I still can't read, I can't write, I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. But on the biggest game of the school year, see, I was coming down the lingerie, do my thing, when number 13 crashed into me. And at the same time that I heard my knee snap, I seen my family dream shatter. See, they depended on me to get us out of the ghetto. So when I hit the ground, I did everything in my power not to frown. But it was just so much pain, like it ran straight to my brain. And the last thing that I remember is the doctor saying, I will never run again. So now I'm asking you all, what are my options if I can't read?
Hmm.
Thank you very
wow.
much.
Clap, clap, clap. I need one of those machines, huh? Clap, 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 clap. People in the chat room, you know, Lamont, are saying how powerful that piece is. Antoinette was talking about the first time she heard that piece, how it, you know, it just caused her to be quiet and you know, brought her to tears in the end. And that's one of those pieces that just... it does. It makes you just want to sit and say, wow. You know, how many times have kids been passed on, you know, and
right.
not, you know, been able to read, but they're just passed on and passed on and passed on. It's as if the school system, you know, sets you up, sets them up for failure. You
right.
know, and then they wonder, you know, why. So I know that's one of your signature pieces, and it's a powerful piece. And just listening to you talk and, you know, just knowing you, you know, on a personal level, you know, you, there's so much inside of you, you know, that you truly are a creative messenger, you know. And I think you
wow.
realize that because of everything that you've got going on in your world, you know, you have a way of touching people and making them pay attention. And I think that's something that is very, very valuable and something to be very proud of, Lamont. So I have to tell you, as much mess as I have heard you talk over the years, you know, there's so much depth to you, and I truly, truly, you know, love and appreciate you in so many ways, Lamont.
That's what's up. I appreciate you too, Lady Flavor, my leopard queen.
Oh, leopard queen. That's better than shoddy now. That's right, leopard queen.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I did for a long time. Just thought I was, like, special when you called me shoddy, and then I got my feelings hurt because somebody else was talking about, oh, Lamont calls me shoddy. I'm like, oh. Okay.
You always got you shot. It's in the delivery.
You know what? I think, you know, the reason why I think you do that is because you don't remember any of our names. And that's just your way of, like, you know, making somebody feel special because you're like, what's her name? Donna? Susan? Let me just call them everybody shoddy.
Yeah, so you can't make no mistakes on. That's why I do it. Everybody is shouting. This I won't mess up names.
I know.
I'd be like, my son even answered the shouting now.
Yeah, I bet he does. But one thing I do want to mention, Lamont, that in my years of knowing you and working with you, you know, on things, I've learned is that it doesn't mean that people aren't paying attention, but it's very, very clear that things don't happen in the time that we would like to see it happen. And
right.
I've definitely learned that. You know, in working, you know, on this project out here in Seattle for you, that that's not an easy thing because I think that, you know, being able to get answers at least, you know, a couple months down the line is reasonable.
Right.
And I didn't realize that people would do research as in depth as these people out here. And so that just showed me the importance of an online presence. Because people want to be able to Google you. If they're going to put out money, they want to be able to Google. They want to be able to do some research. And it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. And I think that's an interesting thing that I have learned in regards to, you know, working with you on projects. So what do you think your biggest challenge has been in regards to what it is that you're doing? And, you know, I would imagine, you know, being able to get the financial backing is a big challenge.
Go
ahead, baby.
The biggest challenge, in all honesty, for me has been the behind-the-scenes stuff. Until an artist or individual in general that start any kind of business or doing anything, until they're able to form a team that's going to help them with the paperwork and all of that stuff, then it's going to be hard because I thought all of my creativity was all I needed for me to go to unlimited heights. But paperwork always come into play. Sponsors want to see paperwork. Banks want to see paperwork. People that, like you just said, that want to research you want to see paperwork because that's all that the internet is a trail of images and paperwork. So they want to see that you have performed in somewhere. They want the biggest names. So the biggest name events that you do, regardless of how big it is in the world scheme of things, that name counts because those people market you coming and performing with that name. Like when I get booked for an event, they say HBO Deaf Poetry Jam or BET Lyric Cafe Port or has been seen on The Wire or directed at the Kennedy Center, they use those names to excite audiences that have never seen you. So if you performed at the hottest poetry open mic spot in your town, use that. Because it adds to your paper trail. You got to post it online so that you can build up, they can Google you, Yahoo you, and all of those stuff. You need an internet presence for people that's outside of your area. So my biggest struggle had been not having my paperwork in order.
And I can appreciate that because, yeah, this has been a learning experience, you know, because I thought, you know, I can present a resume, I can present a website, you know, and that tells a lot about who Lamont Carey is. I didn't realize I would go before, you know, committees. I would, you know, give them individual packets to them. Honestly, researching me, that was probably the most interesting thing that I learned about this project, you know, that I'm working on for you out here, is that they researched me too. I thought they would just research you.
Right. And
you know,
so I guess that's another thing that I should have mentioned. When you form in your team, the people that want to help you, because in the beginning I had a lot of fans that wanted to help me, because I needed help, I allowed them to help me, but they didn't necessarily have the experience. And so if you're working with people that don't have the experience, that means more mistakes are going to be made. So when you're building your team, you got to kind of create a team that are experts in the area that you're putting them in, and that are squeaky clean like you, Lady Flavor, because even if I come back clean and you come back as shady, they not going to mess with me because of the company that I keep.
Right. And I think that was probably the valuable lesson that I learned out of it. You know, it's frustrating because it's something that's still being worked on, and it still honestly is in the works. It's not something
right.
that's been abandoned. But that was the interesting thing that taught me so much, Lamont, that it wasn't all in, especially when you're going for a significant amount of money for a particular project. They're going to want to know who the people are that are involved and what their credentials are. And so I agree. Anybody who is an independent artist out there working towards, you know, taking some steps in a direction, especially a direction where you're wanting to get paid for what it is that you do, and you deservingly, you know, should get paid for what you do. Because too many times, which I know, Lamont, you've done, you know, you've stepped up there on the auspices of, you know, and not gotten paid, you know, but
right.
maybe it is something that you can put on your artist resume or your you know, resume in what can be presented to somebody, but you're at that point where you deserve to get paid. So, yeah, you know, just make sure whoever you have yourself surrounded by, you know, you know, are people of good standing, in that, you know, you are Googleable along with whoever's on your team if somebody wants to go to that point. I don't know how normal that is.
As long as you're contacting people on my behalf, people want to know about the person that they're talking to on the phone.
Right. I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that I've represented you pretty well out here in Seattle.
If you not, I'd have asked the mayor of Seattle to put you out of that city.
Yeah.
But one thing I can say about you, you are definitely dedicated, persistent, and you come back to me and be like, look, Lamont, we may have to go this angle, we may have to do this, we may have to do that. So you have made me a better businessman because you you showed me other ways that we may have to approach something. So now when I'm confronted with a problem, those are one of the ways that I consider on getting around on a particular issue. So
right.
You sharpen me and I make you sharp, I hope.
No, you do. And that's the, you know, that's why I really was excited about you being the featured guest tonight, because, I do have a love and respect for you, you know, and that because I do know a lot about you. But even tonight, I learned more. So there's such value in that also in having you on the show. And I've learned a lot, you know, from a business standpoint for an artist. You know, from you, and that I value, you know, being a part of your team, you know, because it is a win-win. It is something that's a give and take, and I've learned what it means to play a position when it comes to an artist. And so, it's something that I very much value, and you know, I appreciate the fact that you've allowed me, you know, to be a part of your team. I appreciate the challenges and the opportunities that I have encountered because of it. And you taught me how to do research into certain specific things. And
right.
I think that's something that's very important when it comes to being an artist or being on a team for an artist. You have to know how to maneuver around the internet and to be able to do research on specific topics or specific people
right.
that you're wanting to target. Because if you stay within the normal circle, you
right.
keep that normal thing going. But you're
right.
going to have to learn to step outside the box and see who you might be able to touch. Because generally, when you stay within that circle, whether it be Facebook or even Blog Talk Radio, it's the same people that are going to come through all the time,
mm-hmm.
all the time. They love us. They love you. You know, they
mm-hmm.
come through. But are those the people that are going to pop out a certain amount of dollars to make something happen? And so generally,
right.
it doesn't mean that, you know, this online thing or Facebook isn't valuable, because it is valuable, because it helps Lamont Carey or Lady Flava brand ourselves. There's always lessons in this.
Right, and for your listeners, this applies to you as starting your new business and all of that. Because if nothing else, Lady Flava, I am a business, and you are my business partner. So the things that we have to do and apply to get me bookings to on TV or at an event is the same things that regular business owners have to do. You have to conduct yourself as a business. And so for business owners that are not artists, make sure your paperwork is right. Make sure you have a team. And you have to constantly keep motivating your team, because it's your dream. And Lady Flava, in the beginning, I used to have people that want to help me that thought they were going to become stars overnight, or that we were going to become international stars overnight. And when that didn't happen, when they learned that it's a process, they fall off. So you have to have people on your team that this is what they want to do. If somebody say, I want to be your manager, make sure being a manager is what they want to do, and they don't just want to be a secretary. Because being a manager, work. I mean, that causes work. Being an agent, you have to work. So any position that a person wants to play in your advancement, you have to make sure that's where their passion lies. If they don't have the work experience, at least make sure they have the passion.
Well, and I think that also along with the passion, Lamont, is they have to have the capabilities.
Right.
You know, not everybody who says that they want to be a manager or a publicist or a promoter or an agent necessarily even knows what that means, you know. And
if they have the passion,
mm-hmm.
if they have the passion, they'll find out.
Right.
If they have
right.
Their, if, it, just like with us, if we say, if,
right.
when we say that this is how much we accept and we're not accepting below this amount, that's what we go after. And I can't bring you on as a manager and we don't have a conversation on what my goals are.
Right.
That's how you make mistakes. If you just say, okay, you want to be my manager, okay, be my manager. It doesn't work like that. The work that your manager does has to be in line with what your ultimate goal is. So if my ultimate
right.
goal is to be booked on the David Letterman show, I don't want you getting me a gig cutting grass. So
right.
that's why I'm saying passion with passion and a plan of action, then a person that doesn't have the expertise can't be able to fulfill your goal as long as the artists know what it is that they want to accomplish and be able to translate that to their team or their business. You know what I'm saying? So from Microsoft to me, there's a vision. This is what we want to accomplish in 5 years. These are the steps that it's going to take to accomplish this. How can you make this happen for me? You know what I'm saying? So it has to be a plan. No. Oh, but you know I got a show. I got an event now, too. Lady, you familiar with my first love? Hello? Lady. Lady, I don't hear you. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, focus on your plan. Yeah, so, Lady Flav, you disappeared on me. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, I didn't know
Can
what happened
me?
To you. Yeah, I thought your granddaughter attacked you.
Oh, you know what? You don't even want to know what Kimora has done since we've been talking. She is the lotion queen. She put lotion all in her hair, all over her arms, and all over the front of the entertainment center.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know if you heard me snapping my fingers, but that was trying to get her attention to get off. But my daughter Mariko just walked in the door, and she's cleaning lotion off of her daughter. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was all for you, Uncle Lamont.
I appreciate that. I didn't get to feel none of the lotion, but I guess you see that my knuckles are ashy. But that's all right. She's too young to be joning on me, so I ain't going to put up with that.
So anyway, I hope that the listeners, have an understanding of who you are and the hard work. This has not happened for you overnight. The hard work and dedication, you yourself as an artist, as a businessman, entrepreneur, and just creative soul in what you have put into, creating your own destiny, around
right.
who you are and what you do. But I think that, you've shown a very, very serious side of you tonight. And if anybody really, really knows you and follows you, they'll know that there is another side to you that is just is absolutely crazy. You know, you talk out the side of your neck and, just, is fun loving. So I know that you had asked to be on the first half of the show, and I kept you longer than that. But, you are definitely welcome to stay longer, Lamont, if you want to. But before you leave, I do want you to talk about, your latest projects and one of the things that you are really, really working on with your project called My First Love.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, dun, 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 dun. My first love. My first love is part of the mission of Lucuri Entertainment, which is my company. And the goal of Lucuri Entertainment is to be the bridge that helps other artists accomplish their goals in the entertainment industry. So I created my first love, and I have a partner by the name of Kevin Hicks on this that owns an art gallery that's called Annie's Art Gallery. So what my first love is, it's a red carpet affair. So the next show is February the 26th. We lay down the red carpet. We got the backdrop. We got 4 to 6 cameramen, paparazzi, taking pictures of the guests, because the guests are the stars. So they get their fashion on. They come in their best dress, and then they come inside of the gallery to scented candles and artwork on all 4 walls of the place. Then there is an open wine bar that they get to enjoy all night long. And then we have artists. We have a feature or headline artist. This month we have a guy by the name of John Milton Wesley, and he has performed with everybody from the likes of Duke Ellington to Fantasia. So he's the headliner. And then we have Pope Francine and Poetic Visions. They are a band with a new kind of sound. I think it's some almost like neo soul with spoken word mixed in it. This is a real mellow vibe. And then we have Tiffany Thomas. Tiffany Thomas, she plays the piano, acoustic guitar. I mean, this is a real amazing event that's going to take place this Saturday. But to top it off, I don't know if you had him on your show, Lady Flavor, but there is a legendary spoken word artist by the name of Complex. And he just recently he's in a group called Fly Gypsies. So he's coming in to be the MC of the show. So this is going to happen this Saturday, February the 26th, at Annie's Art Gallery. It's in Camp Springs, Maryland. So if you're going to be in the area, ladies and gentlemen, come and hang out with me. Go to my website or my Facebook, and in my events, you can RSVP to attend the show. And then next month, Lady Flavor, I'm doing something else because I'm trying to help promote businesses, right? So I'm doing an event with Positive Productions. It's called a quarter auction. And what we're doing, we're auctioning off, gifts. It could be electronics. It could be gift certificates to restaurants, the clothing stores, food stores, the whole nine. We're auctioning them off for quarters, right? And this is a way to bring local businesses or businesses in general to the community and give the community it's almost like a sample of their goods. So you can come to the quarter auction and bid 50 cents and walk away with some Victoria's Secrets for 50 cents.
Okay.
So this is going to happen in Temple Hills, Maryland on March the 19th. So they can go visit my website again, LucuriEntertainment.com, and see the information for my first love as well as the quarter auction. And
okay.
But the bigger, another part of the quarter auction, we have partnered with Sister United, who is a nonprofit organization that mentors young girls to be women. And they do HIV counseling and prevention. So right now we're trying to work out where we have a mobile unit on the location to do testing. So, but more than anything else, the audience is going to have fun. They're going to leave with some cheap, or they're going to spend quarters to get some dynamic gifts. And we're going to play. We're going to have a good time for like 3 hours. So those are my latest projects.
Oh, you are. I know you are going to have a great time.
Yes,
so,
I am. And I'm the auctioneer. Give me 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,
I hope you're going to videotape these things. Do you videotape your My First Love?
Yeah, there are some video of My First Love.
Okay.
On if you go to my YouTube page, which is Lamar Curry 1. Curry is spelled like Mariah Curry, and it'll take you to all my videos. But My First Love is on there. My newest piece is called, I don't remember it because I freestyled it. It's called I'm Going Back to Bacon, which was performed with a fabulous singer named Dionne Kirby. So, yeah, if you get a chance, just go on YouTube.
I'll have to go over and check that out. I feel like I'm missing out on so much that I just, one of these days, I'm just going to have to get out there to the East Coast just so I can experience you in person. And, I mean, you've been involved in so many things from, you know, the Obama, you know, inauguration to, you know, speaking at the parks to, you know, speaking to the prisoners to, you know, open mics and churches and just, I mean, so many things that you're involved in. That's why, you know, I jokingly said to you, you know, I'd never had you on the show because I figured you're just so busy out there. But, you know, you are, you know, you're a busy man, but I know that it's the things that you're doing, you know, there's a reason behind it. And it's because, you know, you believe not only in what you're creating, but you believe in those who will experience what you're creating.
Right. And I hope that I open doors for other people to be able to share their talents and gifts with the world so that others can experience them as well. And we just keep passing along. We keep passing the torch. So everybody has a chance to fulfill themselves for however long that fulfillment lasts.
There you go. I think that's one thing that people need to understand in being in this industry. It shouldn't be all about just, you know, me. You know, it should be about the collective. Because if we can come together and join hands, it can help each other go further, you know, than for us to be divided. So I think that's a beautiful thing that you're creating. And I know that, you know, again, with the years that you've been at this and exploring and you know, a lot of it being trial by error, you know, in you know, learning what's the best approach to get people to pay attention. And I know you know how difficult it is, you know, to get people to actually pay attention, especially to dig in their pockets and to support something that you as an artist and your group, whether it be your, you know, your performers in your plays to, you know, the projects that you are working on, you know, deserving to, you know, make money off of this. I mean, because the reality is we already know that there are people out there making money, you know, from it. So now how to introduce the newcomers, the up-and-coming artists, the up-and-coming projects to be able to have that sense of value on it that the mainstream artists already have. And so, you know, I'm proud, you know, to know you, Lamont. I'm proud to be on your team. And you know what? I feel really good about 2011. You know, that things are... Yeah, I really do. I think this is going to be a very, very good year, you know, in things actually happening. So I don't know if there's anything else.
Yeah, I wanted to say something to the artists.
Okay.
Artists, the first thing that you have to do is to protect your work. I don't care if you registered through the Writers Guild, if you copyright it, you don't just take your work and post it on social networks. Don't just take your work and record it and give it out, because there are people out there that will take your stuff and put it in the book. They will take your stuff, put it on their CD, and they will copyright it. So when you go to and complain about it's your work, you have no proof of it being your work. So, one, protect your work, because that's your lifeline. That's what's going to make you money eventually. And second thing is, you place value on yourself. you have to figure out what you can accept in charging somebody for your performance. Because one thing that I learned is that as long as you will do something for free, ain't too many people gonna offer you no money. And if and don't fall for perform for me free this time, and I got you, I'm gonna pay you $10,000 next time. If you perform for me free this time, and I feel I gotta pay you something next time, I might offer you $50. And so whatever price that you put on your worth, be prepared to walk away empty-handed if they're not willing to pay it. Because if you say you want $500 for to perform, and I tell you that I only can pay you $50, and you call me back and be like, yeah, I can do that for $50, chances are I'm never going to pay you $500. So I'm never going to pay you what you're worth because you allowed me to place value on your creativity and on your talent. So you have to figure out what it is that you are worth and stick by that. I'm not saying don't do any free stuff. You have to determine how beneficial is the free stuff that you're doing. So if you have an opportunity to do perform or show your art or whatever at a convention, right? And they can't pay
right.
you. You have to weigh whether it's worth it. If the convention has thousands of people running in and out of there, chances are that might be a good look. That might be something that you may want to do for free. But if you have a promoter that's throwing an event, a little event, and he's telling you you can promote yourself, you can sell your CD, you can boom, 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 boom. I got people that come to there and people find people. Chances are some of that can happen because that's how I started from an open mic. But some of that stuff is dead end. But you have to decide what it is that you're gonna do. And one of the things that I do live by is that I don't feature at open mics. I will still go to an open mic and perform at an open mic here and there. But never do I feature at an open mic where they are paying, it's free to get in, $5 to get in, or $10 to get in, because my thinking is you will never pay $25 to see me, and you can always pay $5 or see me for free.
And see you for free. Interesting point. Very good point. It's an interesting point. I remember when you came out here to Bend, Oregon.
Yeah,
I'm so sad that I never got to meet you when you came out here. But I think for that particular gig, you got $2,500, huh?
Yes.
And so would you say that the college circuits pay more than a lot of the other performing opportunities that you've experienced?
Well, yeah, I mean, on a consistent basis, yes. The college circuit is the most profitable for most artists because you have people like Kanye West that have come to a college and get $100,000. You have a poet that have come and may get anywhere from $2,000 to who knows what. It depends on your visibility, how good they think you are, and what you bring to the artists. Bring to the college, to the students, because that's their main concern, is what do the students get out of it. So you have to figure out what you are offering, but put a price. So, yeah,
and I agree. I think that there comes a point when the artists do need to put a price on it, because how many of the artists have been out there performing for free? And like
right.
you said, if they can come out and experience you at an open mic or whatever as a feature, and they don't have to necessarily pay or pay very little, then why would they go somewhere and pay $20, $25, you know, to $50 or whatever, you know, to see you perform when they can, you know, experience you for free, you know,
right.
Somewhere else. So I do think that, you know, you're right. It's something to really, really think about. And maybe what the last thing I'd like to really kind of touch on, Lamont, before you have to go, What is it when somebody experiences Lamont Carey, whether it be through your project Laws of the Street, or whether it be, you know, Lamont Carey performing, you know, at an event, or, you know, maybe it's My First Love. What is it that you want them to walk away with in who they have experienced at that moment?
Well, I want them to walk away with a new appreciation, one of the arts and of the subject matter that I'm addressing. But overall, they need to walk away with my name engraved in their head. If they walk away not knowing my name, then my job wasn't done. But if they walk away changed from the subject matter, then I did a superb job. But I need my name to be remembered. I need for when they're discussing what they saw with somebody else, I need them to say, this guy named Lamont Carey did a fabulous job at blah, 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 blah. And I'm accessible. I got to be accessible. Because if people think you're not approachable, then they won't approach you. Now, one more thing for the poets. I know I said put a price on you and stick to that price. And I know poets have a fear of, man, if I don't do it, somebody else going to do it and get the opportunity. What's meant for you, you can't miss. So sometimes you got to say no to open yourself up to bigger opportunities. But the most important thing that you have to do, you have to protect your intellectual property, copyright. You can do it online for like $35. Mail it in, it's like $45. It lasts your lifetime plus 75 years. $35, $45. How could you not lose? And if you money is your issue, you could do the poor man copyright, where you could take all your work and put it under one title and create a table of contents and send it in as one piece of work, but it's covered.
Right. And that's real talk. You do need to copyright your stuff to protect yourself, especially if you're out there, you know, wanting to make money and to claim that ownership of what it is that you've created, so somebody else doesn't come along and take it, and use, you know, what your work is as their own. So I definitely appreciate you stressing, you know, that point, Lamont. So
one last thing for every artist, every businessman, every speaker out there. There are what 6 point something billion people in the world. There is a guarantee that there are a million people out there that will love what you do. You just have to figure out how in the hell to reach those million people. So that's your challenge. That's why you build your presence online. That's why you do the YouTube. That's why you do the Facebook, the MySpace, the High Five, the Tweet, the Twitter, and all of that. That helps you reach further than you can reach from your little city. So
definitely,
there is a minimum of a million people that will love your work. Your only challenge is to get out there and find them. And that's all I got, ladies and gentlemen. I love you. And if you contact me on a personal, on a one-on-one basis, I'm going to charge your consulting fee. I have to pay rent.
Okay, you got this all free tonight from Lamont Carey. So, Lamont, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know that you're busy. I know that, you know, you need to get at what you're doing tonight. But thank you so much for taking the time out. And I really enjoyed this. I value you, and I've learned some new things, you know, from you tonight. And that's what I think I do value about you so much, is that every time we talk, you know, and we work on something, you know, there's always growth, and that's the win-win for me, you know?
Right.
So,
I just need one thing from you, though.
What's that,
I need
baby?
You to stop hiding us in the dark and talking about that is your grandchild. You need to tell your listeners that is our baby.
Well, you know, she does have your eyes. So.
But I love you. I love you, Shawty. You know that, Shawty.
Yeah,
go
whatever.
Get, go get some of that lotion and put some of that lotion on. Don't throw that
God,
lotion away that too late.
I should have taken a picture of Kimora when she had the lotion all over her hair and her face and her arms, but I can at least take a picture of the entertainment center glass because it is smeared, fingerprinted, you know, almost kind of has like a kind of like, you know, the sun rays, you know, kind of spreading out from the middle of the glass all the way down with a few little, like, finger marks in the middle. So she's, you know, I think she's going to be pretty creative. And, you know, I warned people that she wanted to be my co-host tonight because she was pretty lively. So, you know, I appreciate everybody, you know, putting up with my co-host, Miss Kimora Carey. Lamont, thank you so much for coming. You're silly, man. But thank you so much for coming by the show, and I wish you all the success with your up-and-coming My First Love, and I hope that somebody will video record it because, the beautiful thing about YouTube is it can at least allow somebody like me all the way in Seattle, Washington, to feel like I was present for, you know, part of what it is that you're creating. So I hope somebody will be there, you know, because I want to get a sense of what I'm missing out on. And hopefully this year we'll be bringing you to Seattle, you know, to complete that project. So, you know, I'm crossing my fingers and putting good vibes out in the air and, you know, just believing it's going to take place.
It will, though.
So with that said, thank you so much, Lamont, and, you know, you can definitely hang out. I'm going to play a little bit of music from the All Media Artists, but this was a great experience to have you, and people in the chat room are saying left and right how much they have valued the information that you have shared tonight.
Appreciate it. I enjoyed all them.
Right.
Enjoyed
all
you
right.
always. Bye-bye, babe.
All right. Bye, baby.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Mr. Lamont Carey. And, you know, thank you so much, you know, for you know, taking this time and listening to his life experiences to, you know, allowing him to share his wisdom in the years that he has been in this industry as an artist, as an entrepreneur, and just, you know, just sharing some very, very valuable stories and information that he has learned over the years, and I have learned, you know, with him over the years. So thank you so much, Therese, for having this particular interview set up. It was a perfect one for me to come back and get on board with the All Media Artists again, and thank you so much for, you know, your patience and understanding of the things that my family and I have experienced in the last couple of weeks. So with that said, let me just scroll down my list and, you know, play some music from some of the All Media Artists in the last few minutes of this particular show. So let's see. You know what? I think I'm going to play a piece by Miss Ava Lamert, and this is The Man I Love. Uh-oh. Okay, let's try this again. Let me scroll back down because all of a sudden my computer jerked and it went blank, but it came right back up. So let's try this again. Let's see if I can find what, okay, here it is, The Man I Love by Ava Lamert.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love. he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, gonna do my very best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I'll meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just made for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so, all else above, I'm dreaming of the man I love. Maybe I'll meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just made for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so, all else above, I'm dreaming of.
That was Miss Ava Lamer with her rendition of The Man I Love. I think she has an absolutely amazing jazzy, you know, blues voice, on top of the fact that she's an amazing saxophone player. So I look forward to rescheduling her feature sometime here in the very, very near future. So let me just scroll down and see who else I can pop up with. You know what, let me play a jazz piece, and this is going to be David Dyson with French Toast. David Dyson with his piece, French Toes. Now let's take you into a different arena, a different genre, and play a piece by somebody who is actually in the chat room tonight, which is a wonderful surprise. And this is David Wheeler with his piece, Let It Go.
Highway till the morning light. shoulder. I'll drive a while, another minute, another mile. From all those traps that held us fast, from telephone taxes and broken glass, I'd like you to come.
That was David Wheeler with Let It Go, and thank you so much for coming out to the show tonight, David. You are so, so welcome, and I hope to be able to set up a feature with you very, very soon. So we've only got about 6 minutes left of this show tonight. Again, I want to thank everybody who came out to hang with us in the chat room, to those that were hanging in the wings incognito, and to those that come back and check out the archives. The All Media Artist Features is one of the larger number archive hits that I get to the Flava News radio show. So I appreciate the love and support. If you don't know about All Media Artists, you know you need to go check them out over at www.all-media-artists.com. It is the place where the independent artists come together, network, create a polished, professional look to be online, just another place to be able to be Googled for people to find out more information. The founders of the All Media Artists are willing to help you create a look for yourself as an independent artist if you are needing that assistance. And just so many great things are taking place. Some collaborations are taking place and different projects. It's something I really, really encourage you as an independent artist or even a fan of the independent artists to come over and join us over at the All Media Artists. We do this every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, just so stay tuned. Generally, we play only All Media Artists the first hour and have a feature. We kind of flip the script on you tonight, but it was definitely well worth it. It was a great way for me to get back on the air with my friends of the AMA and to be able to have this time with my dear friend Lamont Carey. So with that said, I'm going to close out tonight's show with a piece by Cat Orlando, and I don't think I've played this song before, so I'm going to play Party Line, Operator 9.
It's a trick you're on fire. Make you feel
right. That was Kat Orlando from the All Media Artists with her piece, Party Line. Again, every Wednesday we do this, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, bringing you the best from the All Media Artists website. Again, check them out at www.all-media-artists.com and come back every Wednesday and tell your friends and tell your family to come hang out with us on Wednesdays with the All Media Artists features. So take care, God bless, and we will see you very, very soon. Good night.